Well, this acquaintance that is a Hebrew Rutite, I call her a Hebrew Rutite because she is a sectarian. And see, God's not called us to follow Paul or Apollos or be divided in such ways that's seditious and schismatic. You know, we're to be one in Jesus Christ. But when we start heralding, following teachers or certain type of belief system, we become denominational. That's what a denomination is. It has a name. You know, God hasn't called us to be Baptist or Catholic or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Hebrew roots or Jewish roots or Messianic faith. He's called us to live in Jesus Christ. It's clear. There's so many scriptures. God took the two, the Gentiles, and he took the Jews that have faith in him, that repent, and he made the two one new man. This is what Colossians chapter 3 says, and Ephesians chapter 3. He made the two one new man in Christ. Now, this person asked me to watch a video by Eddie Chumney, and it was called Hebraic Bible Prophecy Number 1. And I told her that I saw errors by Eddie Chumney. And so she asked me to point those out and make them known. And so I did. I watched it. And a third of the way, he was talking about that we were to follow the law. That's a quote. That's not true. We're not to follow the law. We're to follow Jesus Christ. And as we follow Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, we fulfill the law. We're actually dead to the law. In Romans chapter 7, I studied this just 2 days ago. In Romans chapter 7, Paul's giving an analogy as a woman that would be married is obligated by the law of that marriage to her husband. But if she marries someone else while her husband is still alive, she's an adulteress. But if the husband is dead, she's free to marry someone else. And so likewise, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he likens that, so you are dead to the law, that you should be married to another. So Paul the Apostle is making it clear that we're not married to the law of Moses. We're married to Jesus Christ. So regarding Andy Chumney, when he says we're to follow the law, no, according to the scripture, we're not. We're not to follow the law. In fact, Paul said, you're cursed if you follow the law. And if you're circumcised, he said, Christ is of no effect unto you, and that you are obligated to keep the whole law. And he said, unto you that are circumcised, Christ is of no effect. You are fallen from grace, he says in Galatians chapter 3. That's a remarkable thing, ladies and gentlemen. Another man that was cited by this lady that asked me to comment sent me an email with a portion of an article written by Rabbi Ralph Messer of Simchat Torah Bet Midrash. Now, I don't know why he's called rabbi, because Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23, you're not to be called rabbi. But I could say the same thing to the Catholic priests that are called father, because Jesus also said, call no man father. Now, Jesus would say one day, he said, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? You know, that's a reasonable question. So we put everything to the test with scripture, which is the highest authority, and the Spirit of God, which the two agree. They don't contradict. So this is what Ralph Messer said. It has been 2,000 years since Yeshua, fulfilling the pattern of the unblemished Passover lamb, was crucified at Calvary. Yeshua did not come to abolish the law of Moses. Is that right? So Ralph Messer says that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, did not come to abolish the law of Moses. Let's put it to the test. We'll read the scriptures. In Hebrews 7:18, it says, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So in Hebrews 7:18, it says that the old law, the commandments, are disannulled. And it was weak, unprofitable, made nothing perfect. In Hebrews 8:6, it says this, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. That's the second text that's showing you. You have a first commandment and a second commandment. Hebrews 8:13 says, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and wax old is ready to vanish away. That's a fourth scripture. Hebrews 10:2. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. That's a fifth scripture. Now, Ralph Messer said that Christ didn't come to abolish the law, but Hebrews 10:9 said, he takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Ephesians 2, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. There's another scripture. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of the first things God's going to do when you first come to him is test you to see whether you'll serve him or serve man, whether you'll serve him or serve yourself. We all have to make that decision. And that's the danger of being part of religion. It's man-created. It's written in the Psalms that unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So there's a lot of religious activity. You have scriptures and religious artifacts and props, but it's an empty shell because the Lord's not involved. He's not there. He's not present. His glory's not there. It's not done for him. It's done for some other reason. So you have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. When there's a teaching, I put it to the test. And Paul commended the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. He said they were noble because they put the words of the apostles to a test with Scripture.